What is up, everybody? My name is GP is Going Places, and you are listening to the Shine On Podcast Network, brought to you by Shine On Entertainment. Today is August 9th, 2016, and this is our first official episode. We have a lot of cool stuff in mind for this podcast, so please bear with us as we work through any kinks we may have. We hope to have a video version of the podcast in the future, as well as tons of special guests. But for the time being, I'm going to hold it down solo for you all. Now, I could give you a deep background of my life, but you can easily find that on our website, shineonent.com. So, I'll just let you know that if you love music, sports, fantasy sports, or all three rolled up at the same time, then this is the place for you. I've got my handy notes with me. I'm ready to roll, so let's do this. Our first segment of the day, I like to call Hot Shot Clock. What that is I go through a couple recent events and try to give my hot takes on them within 24 seconds or less. Gotta beat the shot clock. Always gotta beat the shot clock. So, without further ado, let's get started.
Delay of game.
As you all know by now, the Packers-Colts game on Sunday was canceled due to field conditions. I say, move along, nothing to see here. All those fans will be reimbursed at some point. I'm not a huge fan of the preseason anyways. Aaron Rodgers looked to have the right idea from the start by not wanting to play in the first place. All I gotta say is wake me up when the regular season starts.
A-Rod retiring.
A-Rod's retirement seemed a little too staged for my liking. He didn't seem truly emotional. He seemed very forced up on the stage there. It's almost like it was for a soap opera. You know, like, oh, I don't want to leave, but I must. I have to go now. But he's making tons of money off of it, so I wouldn't be that sad either. So maybe acting will be in his future, but he'll need to pay for a few more classes.
USA Hoops versus everybody.
The USA Hoops team beat China on Saturday 119-62 and beat Venezuela on Monday 113-69. As Team USA continues to dominate, KD continues to shine on that squad. This whole summer has been about him, and I'd say this is the summer of bling for KD because he's looking to get a gold medal to go with in hopes of a ring at the end of the season.
Russ's re-up.
Russell Westbrook signed a 3-year extension worth $85 million with the Oklahoma City Thunder, seemingly being a giant middle finger to Kevin Durant as he's on his way out of OKC. The pressure is on Westbrook now, but he seems ready to be the face of the franchise. As KD continues to be on his quest for rings, Russ seems to want a statue outside of that arena.
All you can beef.
Somebody take Drake to Texas Day Brazil because he obviously loves his beef lately. As annoying as it's been, it's also sort of a smart move. Drake has always found a way to stay relevant in the public eye, whether it's picking fights with Joe Budden, Meek Mill, or anyone else within the hip-hop world. Drake is always going to find a way to make sure his hotline will always bling. This segment is for all my fantasy football fans out there, and I call it, you don't snooze, you lose. And these are my fantasy sleepers for the week. Now, I know we're a long ways away from the season starting, and we haven't even gotten a preseason game in the books, but as of right now, if you have a draft going on, I'd say take a look at these guys. It may pay off down the road. First up, at the quarterback spot, I have Robert Griffin III. He was just announced as the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns the other day, and a lot of people are still skeptical on him, but I view him as a solid QB2 with potential to have QB1 upside. Now, he hasn't played in the last year, and the past few years in Washington had to have been mentally taxing on him, but Cleveland, as ironic as it sounds, could be the breath of fresh air that this guy needs. And not to mention, Cleveland actually has some pretty decent wide receivers, at least potential-wise, on that roster. You've got Corey Coleman, who is also a former Baylor player. You've got Josh Gordon, another Baylor player. And I know Josh Gordon reported out of shape, and he's got the first 4-game suspension going on, but he could actually be a key player going down the line as well. But the moral of the story is he has weapons, or he can turn them into weapons. And let's not forget, in RG3's rookie season, he went for 3,200 yards, 20 touchdowns, and 5 picks, to go along with 800 rushing yards and 7 rushing touchdowns. Now, by no means am I saying he's going to replicate his rookie season in Cleveland, but if you look at his stats, you can at least expect 3,000 yards. He's going to throw way more touchdowns than interceptions. He's going to have a nice ratio on that. He's going to be a solid play, and I'm sure he still has the wheels on him to get some rushing yards and rushing touchdowns as well. Currently on ESPN's rankings, he is, out of the top 300, ranked 270 and at QB31 in standard leagues. And for PPR, he's ranked 267 and QB28. I personally, if I had a draft today, I would take him over Sam Bradford, Teddy Bridgewater, Colin Kaepernick, Jared Goff, all of who are ranked higher than him. So we'll see how this preseason turns out, see if he shakes off the rust and it turns into a true sleeper potential. But I'd say if you have a draft right now, take a flyer on him, or if no one takes him, just keep your eye on him on the waiver wire. At the running back position, my sleeper of the week is Jerick McKinnon out of Minnesota. He is going to be more involved in the passing game, as reported by some of the sources coming out of Minnesota. Not to mention, AP is getting older, for as great as he's been. Father time isn't on his side. On the other hand, Jerick McKinnon is 24 years old and a freak of an athlete, and I feel like the Vikings are looking at getting him more involved this season to try and prepare him for the future and have him be the running back of the future in Minnesota. So the opportunity will be there. Current rankings in standard, he's ranked 130, so he's running back 50, and in PPR, he is ranked 105, running back 41. Now, some may say that's not a true sleeper, but I feel like he doesn't get the credit he deserves. Definitely in a PPR league, I would focus on him. The catches will be there. I believe he'll have well over 30 catches coming out of the backfield. And I wouldn't have a problem taking him over players like Chris Ivory, Darren Sproles, Derrick Henry, and Justin Forsett, although they're ranked higher than him. I think the potential's there, the upside's there, and he's worth a late round flyer. Now at the wide receiver position, I go with Sammy Coates, who's quietly creeping his way up the rankings. He's been shining in camp, but hey, who isn't at this point in the year? He seems ready for that number 2 spot across from Antonio Brown, and he's going to free up targets for him, and also vice versa. I mean, when you have the best wide receiver in the league on your team, they're going to focus on him, which may leave you with some very open looks, to say the least. I'm not a huge fan of Marcus Wheaton, even though reports say that Marcus Wheaton is currently slotted in that number 2 role, but I'm not too concerned with that in the short term, because I view Sammy Coates to produce no matter what. As long as he's on the field, he will be a threat. And young Steeler wide receivers find a way to contribute. It seems to be the theme. No matter what, they do a pretty decent job at drafting these wide receivers. I mean, in recent years, you've had Antonio Brown. They've had Emmanuel Sanders, Mike Wallace through the drafts. They have a knack for picking the right receivers that fit their system, and I think Sammy Coates will continue that trend. Current ranking for standard leagues, he's at 120 at wide receiver 55. In PPR, same thing, 120, wide receiver 55. The players ranked higher than him at this point include Wheaton, Jalen Strong, Kamar Aiken, Vincent Jackson. I'd rather go with Sammy Coates in those situations. I think Sammy will have a monster year given the suspension of Martavis Bryant, and he's going to find himself, if I had to pick, I'd say more of an Antoine Randall L role in the Steelers offense to compare him to a Steeler. And I'll personally be rooting for him as a Steelers fan, so hopefully, you know, you can snag him up in the late rounds of your draft and have him produce for you out the gates. This last main segment I like to call High Note. And the reason for that being is it's my one story out of the music world for the week that I like to touch on and give it some proper exposure and proper credit. And today's high note is DJ Khaled releasing a top album once again. Released his album Major Key, and it's at the top of the hip hop charts right now. Features artists on the lines of Jay-Z, Future, Kendrick Lamar, Drake, Travis Scott, Wiz Khalifa, and anyone you could possibly think of in between. Khaled has been the top mover and shaker in the industry so far. And I listened to an interview that he did on the Rap Radar podcast, and the insight he gives is so inspirational. And he's not just a cliche, you know, funny guy. Like, he really means everything he says. And his work ethic is unbelievable. And some of the stories I heard off of that, where he talked about how long it took to get Jay-Z to do a verse for him, which ended up leading to be the verse for the single I Got the Keys, featuring him and Future. And his persistence is unmatched. It is really, truly motivational and inspiring to me. You know, everyone sees him on Snapchat and he's funny and he's this guy, but the guy is really, really smart, and I give him so much credit. And I didn't even realize how deep of a catalog he had. I think this was his 9th album released. And to have the power to go to these artists and form these, like, super songs in a way that, like, you know, LeBron forms a super team in the NBA, or anyone else in the NBA, like Kevin Durant going to the Warriors and forming a super team. He does that with songs, and he truly has anthems. And a lot of the times you don't realize that he's behind some of your favorite songs out right now. And I gotta say that, once again, major kudos to DJ Khaled. You have a new fan in me. I've always admired from afar, but now that I got to see a little bit behind the curtain, I am all in on Khaled. He looks to have the keys for many years to come. That just about does it for our first episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you liked what you heard today, let me know on Twitter at GPIsGoingPlaces, and follow the podcast too at ShineOnPodNet. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes, as well as visit shineonent.com for other news and notes. For our fantasy fans out there, we will be posting mock drafts and analysis to help you prepare for any upcoming drafts. There's also going to be other articles and special goodies on the site too, so make sure you don't forget, shineonent.com. To end this episode, we have our Shine On Spotlight, which features an artist or song you may not have heard of yet. Today's spotlight is on a friend of mine named Jake Weiser with his song titled One Sip. It is from his EP, I Am Jake Weiser, and it's right now one of my personal favorite songs. You can check out his music at soundcloud.com/Jake Weiser, and we will also post his EP on our website, shineonent.com. Thanks again for listening. My name is GP, and don't forget, shine on or get blinded.
Just like, okay, like, no way, I'm drunk as hell off that Jose. Cigarettes in my ashtray. Girl, why you tripping? Why the fuck you blowing on my phone? Girl, you just need to let it go. Cause I'm nothing like the last guy. I won't play you like no fool. But if you think this matters, girl, then I'ma let you know. To your lips, you can have one more sip. Oh, cause I just need a time. While you chillin' with your girls, talking shit, just drinking wine. And I'm rolling up that medicine, I'm smoking till I'm fine. Middle fingers go.